jingle noise, jingle all the way. Oh, well, that's just ruined it. Thanks, John.
I was singing along.
Yeah, but I was improvising, and I didn't know where I was going to go with
this.
And
I wasn't.
Yeah, but you...
Singing along, wagging us all. Welcome to the Noise Cancelling Podcast.
That'll do.
That was brilliant.
I was going to be good. Anyway, fine. Thank you, Cherie. I mean, it was miles better than what I would have done. Anyway, welcome to the Christmas edition of the Noise Cancelling Podcast. The first one we've done because we're less than a year old. But we are very excited to be here and be on Christmas in your ears, giving you all the flavour of the year that has just gone on the lovely Noise Cancelling Podcast, where we talk to you about all things tech and try and sound like we know what we're talking about and often fail. Let's find out who's here to do that this week / this year, I think.
I am Cherie L. Smith, Editor-in-Chief of Laptop Mag.
I am John McCann, Deputy Editor of Tech Radar.
And I am Matt Phillips, Tech Radar's Video Producer.
And I am Gareth Beavis, Global Editor-in-Chief of Tech Radar. Cherie, I felt like that was the least confident you've been all year about who you are.
You know, I am, therefore I am, or whatever that saying is, but I'm here, I'm ready, let's do this thing, let's kick some butt.
That is a very famous phrase, I am, therefore I am. That's exactly how it goes.
Oh, all right. Whee!
Yeah, exactly. Right, usually we would start with a big question, but this is the end of year show, so therefore we're thinking more about having a lot of fun, being in school when we used to bring in games, you know, not wear school uniform, the good end of year fun that you have when it's time to finish lessons, stop the boring stuff, and just get ready for Christmas. So let's take a look back and decide how good was 2020. Spoiler, rubbish. But let's talk tech. So first question, the best thing that you bought or reviewed, let's be honest, reviewed, because who's going to buy stuff when you've got to continually find out what the next thing's like in 2020? I'm going to start with you, John. What's the best thing you reviewed off the top of your head?
Well, actually, I've got something that I bought out of my own hard-earned cash. It is the Enac Fire E90 wireless earbuds. I was on the hunt
for... Is that how you pronounce it? I've been saying like Enasifier or been saying wild thing. All right.
I think Enac Fire. That's what I reckon.
Today I learned.
I was this days old. So yeah, they're £40, probably around $40 as well in the US. Easily available from your favorite large online retailer. And you know what? For the price... Can't really fault them. They do the job. They've got a really nice sort of noise isolating fit. So while they're not noise cancelling, they do a really good job of just blocking out a lot of the surrounding noise. They sound pretty good. They're simple operation. The touch controls on the buds are some of the better ones that I've used. I've tried out a lot of buds this year. So for a really easy to use, inexpensive wireless earbud option, I really enjoyed them.
It was last year, admittedly. It was Black Friday 2019, but then they sat in a drawer. I bought the Enac Fire wireless buds. They're just basic, the same as you had, but much more basic versions. Just because like they were £20, and I was like, that is not much money for wireless earbuds. Surely they can't be any good. And I'll be honest, they are brilliant for that much money. They surpass no expectations in terms of build quality, design, sound, or anything like that. But they fit in fine. They have a little box. They go in and they charge up. I can run with them. I was like, I literally cannot fault these for this much money. And it's brilliant. So, and we both talked about Enac Fire, and they are, you know, we both found them to be a good brand. But there are so many of these on Amazon that it's quite fun to play with them. Cherie, would you ever buy something so
cheap?
I didn't want to say that, but I was like, yeah.
No.
Just no. Full stop. Fine. Okay.
I just don't believe it in those $20, $10 earbuds because eventually they'll break. And yes, they're easy to replace, but I feel like with the build quality for a lot of them, that over the time that before you finally just call it quits with them, you'll have bought enough of them to equate to one good pair of wireless earbuds.
That's true. If you can one pair, fine. But you know what was it? That would have cost, you could get 12 pairs of those for the same price as a pair of Apple AirPods Pro or whatever. And I feel like, yeah, you're right, but they're just a backup. They're not the number ones. They're just like there in the background for when, you know, pop them in your backpack. Don't do that. Put them in your backpack, leave them in a drawer at work, just there in case of emergencies. And for me, that works.
This is the logic that I have with sunglasses. I don't trust myself to have a nice pair of sunglasses. So at the start of summer, I'll buy like 25 pairs, pound each. If I leave them somewhere, if I lose them, I break them.
That hurts me, Matt. That hurt me. This may surprise you, but there's only one brand of sunglasses I buy, and I'm an absolute snob about it. But I can't get enough of them.
Cherie, what about you? Best thing that you bought / reviewed this year? I know it's going to be good from you.
All right, best thing that I reviewed PS5 laptop wise, Dell XPS 17, the Asus Zephyrus Duo 15. And things that I bought, I just finally bought my Samsung Galaxy Note 20 Ultra 5G because I was scared that this was going to be the last Note ever, but thankfully Samsung came to its senses and decided that they are not going to be getting rid of my beloved Note series. But either way, I got a shiny new Note. It's in Mystic Bronze and I'm happy.
Amazing. How's the S Pen?
I am still setting it up right now. So I haven't even started touching the S Pen because, like, I basically, ever since I've started reviewing phones, I've just been basically spoofing this one phone. So it takes a while.
Still can't hear the word S Pen without hearing our deputy editor in chief a long time ago, Mark Chaxfield, who has now left Tech Radar. And he called it the Pen S on video. And this was back when the Galaxy Note first came around. Oh. Can't stop. Can never hear S Pen without hearing that over and over and over again. There's a video out there. It's wonderful. It's a very much a Tech Radar in joke. But for all the fans out there, if you ever see us, just drop that in and we'll give you a nod and a wink. Matt, I don't want to ask you what the best thing you bought in 2020 is.
I was going to say, you've fallen into my trap, Gareth.
What is it, Matt?
Did I set up the questions for today? My best purchase of this year was the LG C10 OLED TV that I bought.
Tell us more.
That Gareth has been wanting to buy for 3 years and just hasn't got around to it. Come on, Gareth, join me. Join me. I am actually blown away by how good it is. You know, it's a lot of money. And I was
The money.
It's actually worth the money. It actually is. It's incredible. It's incredible.
I'm trying to buy a house, Matt.
Yeah. I mean, priorities, though. You know what I mean, Gareth? Priorities.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I can't join the fun.
No, it's brilliant. And yeah, that hooked up to my new PS5. It's yeah, incredible. Incredible.
I am just eagerly awaiting for 8K TVs to go down a little bit more, and then I will start swapping out 4K TVs for 8K TVs.
Oh, damn. You're going in quick.
No, I'm going to try to contain myself, but if it comes down to like $2,000 anytime soon, yeah, I am going to be in like Schwinn, baby.
What 8K content have you got to watch on it?
It's not even that. It's just a future proof. I just want it.
It'll take you a while to replace all the TVs, though, Cherie.
I know.
So, you know, you got to get going on that.
Like, no, I can wait for right now. I'm satisfied for right now. I've got OLED everywhere. Well, I could use one more TV. We shall see. We shall see.
Right. Okay. So if that's the best thing that we bought and reviewed in 2020, let's flip that around to the worst thing. Cherie, you must have a number of candidates. You're not slow to come forward with a "I hate this" mantra.
Come back to me. I'm going through laptops right now.
You mean physically or in your mind?
In my mind.
Okay, fine. John.
In my head, it's like the Matrix when all the guns appear, except it's just Cherie in a white room with laptops either side of it.
John, what about you then?
Come back to me.
Okay. Oh my God. Matt, what's the worst thing you bought?
Oh, I was literally come back to me. What is the worst thing I bought? Now, I can do this. I can do this. I can think about it. Hold on. It's coming to me. It probably, I almost don't even want to say it.
Is it the TV?
No, it's not the TV. The TV's incredible, Gareth. Get on board. Is Cyberpunk 2077?
Well, you just get a refund now, can't you? Oh, you can't on PlayStation, can you? Not on PlayStation.
Well, no, you can again now. So for those of you who don't know, CD Projekt Red came out and said, look, if you're not happy with it on console, send it back, get a refund. And then people asked PlayStation for a refund and PlayStation were like, hell no, go away. And but now PlayStation have removed it from the PSN store and are offering refunds to people. So yeah, it's one of the most anticipated games of 2020. Came out to a extremely mixed reaction amongst fans and critics. Yeah, it's not even the bugs and the glitches that have got me down on it. It's just not the game that I thought it would be, unfortunately. So
Yeah.
That's a real shame.
It is a shame. It is a shame. I wanted to love it. I'm not going to get a refund. I'm still playing it. I'm still enjoying it. It's just not quite as good as I was hoping it would be.
Are you playing it on PS5, though?
I'm playing it on an Xbox Series S, so next generation Xbox.
Okay. So that's slightly better, because the real issues are with last-gen consoles, right?
For sure, for sure, for sure. And I haven't had anything majorly game-breaking at all. I've had to restart a couple of times. I've had a couple of annoying aesthetic things happen, but nothing too crazy.
And so are we more thinking that... I don't know about this whole thing. Like, the biggest game of the year isn't good. It seems to be a terrible thing. And I just can't believe this has happened.
Yeah, it's a bit of a bizarre one. You know, it's been in some sort of development for about 8 years.
Mm.
Obviously, Keanu Reeves was like a big draw for a lot of people, being kind of a main protagonist in the game. And to be fair, I love him in the game. I think his character sort of one of the highlights of the game for me.
Someone said that he's a bit like Clippy. He just pops up when you need him and gives you advice you might not need.
That's a very apt description, actually. That is almost exactly what he's like, but with a lot more swearing and crude language. So yeah.
Oh, Keanu.
Oh, Keanu.
Okay, John, have you thought of anything yet?
I've just had a quick look back. I've not really reviewed anything this year. So it's a difficult one for me to say, because there's nothing really I've reviewed, and I don't make bad purchases.
Okay, well, what's the worst car you've driven this year then?
My own Vauxhall Corsa, which now thankfully we've sold.
Okay, well, I thought we were going to have a richer seam here of content, but obviously not. Cherie, come on. There's got to be something in here that's just the worst thing you wanted to throw out a window.
Nothing that I have personally reviewed, but there is a laptop that it's a Chromebook. Of course it is. I need people to stop forcing high-end specs into Chromebooks and charging high prices.
Is it Samsung's one? The Fire Engine red one? What? You hated that?
I love the way that thing looks so much. I love it. I love the OLEDness of it. I want that thing to be Windows so bad. Like, it's just wasted on Chrome. It really, really is, and it hurts my feelings. So that is going to be my worst. Any high end Chromebook that just like you're just it's kind of like Icarus just flying too close to the sun with your high-end specs that people really, really like. What do you need 4K for on a Chromebook? Are you really doing any video editing or photo editing on a Chromebook? I think not. And then it hurts my soul.
You know,
it really does.
You know what, I have been giggling with glee at your hatred of Chromebooks this year until I had a friend phone me the other day and asked me, should I buy a Chromebook for my wife, or should I get the new MacBook? And I was like, oh, because I don't want to spend a lot of money. And I was like, whoa. He was talking about the HP Chromebook. I was like, that's a good model. But I was like, there's too much danger that she'll hate the Chromebook. Like, that she won't enjoy it, because it might not allow her to do everything that she wants to do. If she's not a technophile and is willing to kind of work around certain things, she went, oh, I just wish I had a MacBook. And so I ended up getting the new MacBook Air, because I was like, just to be safe, you're going to have to do that. And I was like, I feel like I'm betraying my multiple podcast roots with this, but I couldn't. I felt too much danger of like recommending a Chromebook, but because they're brilliant. As long as you accept what they are, they're brilliant. But as a present for someone else, you're in difficult territory, and we're all about Christmas.
Yeah, the only I've really, really asked people what they're going to be using the laptop for, just on the strength of you don't know what sacrifices they're going to have to make. So I am not going to be recommending a Chromebook to a photo editor or a video editor or someone that needs to do a whole bunch of computational problems, or like I really, really get into the Roto-Rooter of what they need it for. Like, if it's for like, A, I just want to watch videos, do some light productivity work, social media, hey, there you go. But other than that, no.
What is Roto-Rooter?
Roto-Rooter is this. It's an American company, and they clean septic tanks, and it's a Roto-Rooter treatment. So
I'm what? So confused.
We have a great list of ship in India. They're gonna love that.
You asked. best.
True, true, true. Okay, right. So I don't have anything that was the worst thing I reviewed in 2020 either, because like John, I make sensational purchases. The only thing I was thinking was I couldn't decide whether the Apple Watch 6 really did. Oh, you know what? I'm going to call something out here, and it's unfair because it's actually quite nice, but the HomePod Mini is the worst thing that I reviewed, and it's not that bad either. And it's not the HomePod Mini's fault. It is Siri's fault, and it is still pissing me off. Because the amount of time, right? I've got everything set up. You know, I've got two lamps in the bedroom. They're on, you know, smart lights. All I want to do is get them to turn on, off and on. And I say, hey, Siri, turn off the lamps. And it goes, I haven't been able to contact one of your devices. And then the lamp stays on. And then it goes, please check, blah, blah. And as it's saying that, the lamp just turns off. And I'm like, like, you know, it, I understand if it didn't work. I had to troubleshoot it. But it's just takes its sweet ass time. So, so the HomePod Mini is actually a really nice little device. If you've got the desire for Apple connectivity in your home, you want to talk to Siri and you want good sound quality for less money, actually quite good. But just Siri is just so annoying. And it does the stuff it's supposed to do. But come on, like, just work. Anyway, that'll do for that. Let's talk about what we really enjoyed this year, because we need happiness in our lives. John, what do you think was the most exciting product of 2020 off the top of your head, without even thinking? What was it? I'm looking top of the head stuff, John. Come on. What comes to mind first? Stop looking blankly at me.
Nothing exciting happened this year.
I've got a mind blank.
I can go if you want.
Go on.
Yeah, go
so
for it.
So I'm going to actually merge this and the next question, which we were going to talk about the strangest product, because I think they're one in the same. And I'm going to go for the LG Wing. I was blown away when this thing showed up, and I thought it was fake. And I think it happened whilst we were recording the podcast, and me and Cherie were both trying to figure out if it was fake or if it was real, and it was just bizarre. Because why? When everybody else is making folding phones, phones that turn into bigger tablets, or phones that shrink down to smaller things, LG said, no, you know what people want? 1.5 screens. And for the phone to swivel out into your least favorite Tetris block. It just bizarre, but excited, I guess. I would love weird things like this to happen and actually be successful. And maybe the LG Wing isn't quite that, but I'm glad that they're trying.
Why would it not be successful?
Well, has it been successful? Has it even been released properly yet?
Well, it's been released. It's just it's a weird thing to choose.
I don't think people know about it in the same way that people know about like the Samsung Galaxy Fold, right? Like, I feel like, you know, not many people have those phones, but people know of those phones. Whereas I don't think your average punter on the street knows what the LG Wing is. And if you showed it to them, I don't think they'd be excited about it. I think they'd laugh.
Why would they laugh though, Matt?
Well, because it's ridiculous, right?
Then why is it the best, the most exciting thing of 2020?
Because it's different. It's something new. They're trying. And I respect and appreciate that.
It's very LG. It's like, yeah, we've done something that no one really asked for, but we've done it anyway. And that's why, and I kind of love LG for that. They're just like, forget what everyone else is doing. Forget what potentially sells well. We're going to do our own thing. And it's like, hey, yeah, you go for that, LG.
And maybe they'll hit it on the head the next time round. You know, it's something that none of us thought we needed, but it'll be something incredible that we all want. I don't think the LG Wing is that, but it proves that they have the sort of drive to at least try.
Cherie, what about you? Come on, what's excited you this year?
I'm gonna stay on Matt's bead and go and keep on the dual screen tip with the again the Asus Zephyrus Duo 15. So Asus is just doubling, tripling, quadrupling down on its dual screen technology that's getting better and better. This time around, they put it on a gaming laptop. And they made some really cool touches. They brought their aeroactive dynamic, whatever they call that, cooling system to the gaming system. Now the secondary screen lifts up a little bit so you can see it better, interact with it better, and cool the laptop. And I think it works to really great effect. Is it for everyone at $399? Probably not. But again, I love extravagant, opulent things. And this speaks to me on a kitchen sink level of awesomeness.
Yeah, I remember when I went and saw that with our Matthew Hansen, and we were kind of both blown away by it, and they didn't tell us the price until the very, very end, and then we were like, oh yeah, okay, that makes sense. Nobody's gonna own this thing, but
yeah,
it is incredible.
Exactly. It's like, yeah, I mean, that said, it still is not the most expensive laptop I've ever reviewed. That goes to the Acer Predator 21X, that 21 inch curved monitor gaming laptop that weighed about 13-14 pounds.
I mean, what about the Microsoft Surface Duo? Was that not exciting, at least?
I didn't touch it. It got mixed reviews, thick bezels. They forced Windows. Which Windows did they force onto it? Is it Windows S? Or what? Like that one that you immediately get rid of for RT. Actual Windows?
Is it RT?
I don't think. Was it R2? I can't even remember.
I can't remember either. This is bad for us. We should know this. You should know, Cherie. You're a laptop Mac editor. I'm just a general confused man.
Like, I did not touch it. I had no intentions of touching it. I am glad I did not. Our reviewer, while they appreciate the novelty and the potential use cases of the Duo and the foldable class in itself, it's just one of those devices that somebody had to be first. The first is not always the best. And yeah, so it's going to be one of those things that we look back on in a decade like, oh, it was innovative for what it was doing, but it was still trash.
I'm looking back over our reviews for the year thinking, oh, come on, we've got to miss loads of things here. We haven't. This hasn't been a good year for technology and exciting things. You know, I'd argue that the PS5 is probably the most exciting thing that we've had this year, you know, in terms of that general buzz around something actually delivering-ish. And, you know, the sort of the full hype cycle being realized, I think the PS5 is probably the best that we've got, you know, the cool stuff that we've missed. And I'm sure there's loads out there. And please do email in to, I don't know, what we need an email address. We should have had one by now.
We do need an email address. Just tell people to comment. They can comment.
We will set up an email address by this time. It will be noisecancellingpodcast@futurenet.com.
Well, there we go. Cherie's committed us to that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Cherie, action point for you. Set up that email address.
Yep,
there we go.
I've finally thought of something, Gareth.
John, what is it?
Took me ages, but the best thing I've reviewed, slash the most exciting thing for me this year, was the new Rolls-Royce Ghost. You know, how different can a car actually be from another car, right? They've got four wheels, they've got seats, etc. But the Rolls-Royce is just, like, there is literally nothing like it on the road. It is just insanely opulent to the nth degree, and it's the size of a super yacht, yet its maneuverability, its steering is just crazy. I got back, having had the Rolls-Royce for a week, I got back into my own car, and it literally felt like the steering wheel was in treacle. I was like, to my partner, there's something wrong with the steering. Like, it's so hard to say. No, I just got used to the insanely light steering of a Rolls-Royce, and on a car which is weighing 3 tons or so and it's 5 meters long. Madness.
5 meters?
Yeah.
Shit.
For a hot second, Laptop Mag, I convinced the then editor-in-chief to let us start reviewing cars because I just...
How?
Because Laptop Mag.
That's got nothing to do... You can't get it to a laptop. Come on.
No. I'm with Sherry here. I spent a whole day working on my laptop in the back of a Rolls-Royce Ghost at the launch earlier this year. HDMI port. I just plugged it in, so I had my computer up on the backseat entertainment system. It was great.
Okay, that does make it a bit different.
Okay, and there's Wi-Fi in there.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, there's Wi-Fi.
There you are.
But, like, honestly, it's just on the strength of, like, I truly have a belief that once you set eyes on this beautiful smile and these big, deep dimples, there's very little that very few people are going to tell me no. So I have a passion for cars, and like ad wise, it was low hanging fruit. I'm like, okay, if we start doing this, we could potentially pull a few ads. And so the first car that I got on Laptop Mag was, the Bentley Continental GT. It was baby blue. It was magnificent. And like, I being in that car, driving down a notoriously bumpy New York City road, it was just like floating. Just floating. That I was like, and then when I had to get in a regular car, I'm like, oh, this is trash. This is like absolutely amazing.
I mean, yeah, you know, you'd expect that for the prices you're paying for these sort of cars. The Rolls Royce I drove was £300,000. So that's, you know, more than my first house. So, you know, like proper silly money. But my word, you just don't get an experience anywhere near it in any case. Even the Continental GT, which I drove last year, brilliant. And I thought, wow, you know, so smooth, so light, so powerful. And then the Rolls Royce, it's got some crazy suspension that it just, yeah, just gobbles up bumps, and you're just there in an amazingly soundproofed.
What a cloud! It's just like,
oh yeah, so good. The back seats are like a sofa. There's a champagne chiller between little fridge. It's great with glasses in it. Oh yeah.
So that's everyone's Christmas present coming up, of course. £350,000 Rolls Royce. Yeah.
Can I change my answer from the LG Wing? Then I don't want that for Christmas.
Just 300,000.
Oh, sorry, didn't realise, John. Oh, that completely changed the complexion, 100%. Right, let's, before we leave what's happened this year, we do have to talk about the virus in the room, and COVID has ruined this year, I think we'll all agree.
Yes.
But let's imagine that it wasn't there. Let's think about that, and let's specifically talk about the PS5. If that virus had never happened, would we all have PS5s very easily right now, or is Sony playing a magic game with us either way?
I reckon there would have been more stock. I don't think it would have been plentiful.
Yeah, I don't. I think we'd still be at the mercy of scalpers.
Yeah, I think we definitely would have more of them, but I don't know. It seems like this whole, there's no PS5s anywhere. I got to get one that's the hottest ticket in the world. There's always that kind of, how many did you really put out there? I mean, I'm sure Sony worked really hard, and it probably has had production delays because of this whole thing, because many, many companies have, you know. There's no reason Apple would just be like, let's move the date of the iPhone launch, just because there definitely was an impact all over the place. But it's really hard to tell, given the fact that, you know, now they're so hard to get hold of. People are desperate to get a PS5. Like, I knew somebody who had one delivered, and they in the cover of night, delivered it to their dad's house, where there was going to be, you know, the actual present opening later on, so that he could store it safely. And a neighbor saw them, and they were like, oh, "What's going? How do we know they're not going to steal it? Like, oh no! Like this kind of like military operation that was defunct because they were spotted. It was just, it has a different impact in so many ways.
It is interesting, right? And I wonder if COVID wasn't a thing and there were slightly more stock available, would it have stayed in the news cycle like it has and will continue to do next year, I'm sure, right? Like, whenever there is stock somewhere, that's a huge story. And I've never really seen anything like that before. And the Xbox is the same, but yeah, how long will that continue? I don't know.
I think the bigger dramatic impact on the consoles with COVID was actually the games. We've seen numerous titles push back. We've seen, obviously, the well-documented issues with Cyberpunk, which was initially delayed for ages and then finally came out and wasn't ready. But the impact on game development studios around the world has been astronomical. It's been really difficult for them actually to get the work done. Yeah, they can all work remotely. They've got the internet and stuff, but it's just not the same. It's not, you know, game development can be sporadic, but the bigger picture is it's quite a, you know, there is a process and they're into a groove and, you know, they know what they're doing each game. But this time around, someone's table flipped and everyone's like, oh, how do we do this? And then you're working with the end of the line last generation consoles and potentially trying to work with the new generation consoles as well and trying to figure out how to blend the two while also thinking, oh, don't forget about PC. Oh, maybe we can get it to Switch as well. And it's a real mixing pot. And I think that has sort of impacted the consoles as well, because the launch lineup's maybe not as strong as people would have liked, although the hype around the console, if the consoles were plentiful and you're saying, oh, would it have dropped out the news cycle? Well, perhaps. If the games, we may be hearing more about the games right now than the consoles themselves, because we'd have more, you know, we could potentially have Halo right now, things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Halo launching on Xbox would have made a huge difference. And you know, it does seem like Xbox isn't in the conversation as much, right? Like, people are still struggling to get them, sure, and people do really care about Xbox, but it's kind of surprised me how uneven the interest has been and that it has leaned so much towards PS5 this generation already.
Right, so that's 2020 solved, I think, right? We've worked it out.
Yep, we fixed it.
Except we haven't got one big thing. Like, what is, you know, we've done a number of these episodes so far. How many is it, Max? I keep forgetting.
This will be 44.
44, that's what I was going to say, 44. Yep. Everyone knows that. Mm-hmm. We've had a number of highlights over this year, but I don't think, and please correct me, I'd love it, that anyone can compare to Cherie's sleep-deprived Times Square story where she, I don't know, you saw a man with a loincloth.
It was a coin purse, like a loincloth would leave much more to the imagination.
I tell you what, I'll go back and find that episode and drop that little clip in here for you to all enjoy.
Like, it would have been so bad. Like, what I missed this prior day is being in the war room. Like, I missed, like, that camaraderie. Like, it's always a good time. Like, and even if it's not a good time and we're getting swamped and covered by deals, like, at least there's somebody to the right or left of you that's sharing that burden, and you're eating pizza with them and we're listening to someone's weird taste in music. Like, hey, have you heard this nerdcore? And we're all like, what? And then after a while, we're all like, yeah, nerdcore. And like, you just get a little weird with your coworkers. It's a really cool bonding experience. And I miss the most about Prime Day. That and like the wacky stories I would get from coming into Prime Day since I worked the midnight shift like last year when I was coming in. I saw a guy, and he was shirtless, or so I thought. And as my view expanded, and I really started taking, my brain was like, no, danger, danger, danger. I noticed that he was not totally nude, but he was nude except for a little coin purse covering his bait and tackle. And
what is happening?
I thought we were saying goodbye.
Wait a minute. and then, like, when I really started paying attention, because now I'm just like, what? He had his clothes and his shoes, and they were all neatly folded under his arm, and he had this look like he had just seen the lights or some epiphany, like he had just emerged from Plato's cave, and he was walking towards Times Square like he was about to deliver the truth to us all. And there was a family of European tourists behind me, blonde, like really blonde, like Village of the Damned blonde. And they're looking at me like, do you see this? I'm like, man, listen, yes, I do. But if you're like me, who's live here, you will act like you don't see it because you don't know. His clothes were folded so neatly, and he just a little coin purse for his bits. And he's just walking towards Times Square. And I just miss those type of stories for Prime Day.
the greatest deal of all.
Cool, we have to wrap up because we have run way over time. Sean, thank you for joining us. I can only apologize for your boss.
That's for me the highlight. I mean, anyone else got anything better? Because I don't think you can top that.
I think, you know, one of my highlights, and I think we're going to chat about it in a little bit anyway, was Tom Bedford's unpopular opinion that TVs are no longer needed. And
oh my god.
I mean, it's definitely the spiciest take we've had so far on the podcast. I think I really enjoyed that.
I think we should talk about it now. Yeah, it's just ridiculous.
I'm still left kind of speechless by that.
He's not here to defend himself, so I feel bad, but to give you guys the gist of what he said, he argued that projectors were just better for most things, and he's watching so much of his content on phones and laptops that he just really doesn't need or want a TV anymore and doesn't think people should have TVs anymore.
It was more the fact that he was so, took it to the nth degree of like, yeah, I don't maybe watch as much TV, but no, TVs are dead. the industry's, you know, essentially he was saying the industry's got about a year tops.
Yeah.
before we all just go, you know what, let's just either read books or watch Netflix on our phones.
Well, I mean, it's interesting with the increased number of streaming services and the likes of Peacock and HBO Max and, you know, a number of UK broadcasters also offering sort of online streaming services. In terms of live TV, we may well see that diminish because there is a generation now who are used to on demand content. They don't want to wait until a certain time to watch things. They don't want to necessarily sit through ads to watch things. They just want to load up their device and they want to watch. And that is a sort of generational shift. And us on the podcast at the moment, we're all around the same age, and we sort of straddle maybe both lines of, you know, having grown up with traditional television, but also being immersed in streaming. Whereas, you know, those who in the generations below us have grown up really from streaming from the start. You can look at the stats. There's a huge amount of young people who watch YouTube, for example, over choosing to watch a live television program. And that sort of generational shift is interesting. And for live TV programming, it is going to be interesting with all these streaming services available.
I think it'll be interesting to see what happens over time, because again, we talk about the lovely coronavirus. During that time, everyone really did invest in TV again, because it was like, well, what else are we going to do? You know, look at a phone. We've got to sit down and do something. So I think it was in the US, you know, large screen TVs, like, you know, 65 inches and above, were like over 50% up year on year. So there's still very much an attitude towards it. But you wonder if it's a kind of, as you get older, you're like, well, I should have a better TV, you know, that's all I think about. So, and I'm wondering, you know, will that happen, keep going forward generationally, or will that just fall apart? So I don't know. Well, let's come back here in 25 years time and see if Tom Bedford was right. I feel like that's the litmus test. So episode 4972 or whatever it'll be, we'll find out if Tom had it right or if he's wrong. And if he's wrong, then I'll sack him.
Wow.
40 years down the line. That's what I'll do. Right. I think it's time for a break. I need a drink. So this week's episode of the Noise Cancelling Podcast is brought to you in association with Western Digital, but specifically the WD Black.
This is for all of my gamers out there. Whether you prefer to play on a console, PC, or laptop, it's important to use storage drives that are built to perform. The go-to is the WD Black, regardless of what's being played. You know that you can increase any capacities and any speed to get in fast and take out opponents even faster. Now, no matter what you're looking for, WD Black has a drive for you. Whether you want to reduce load times or streamline your connectivity, a trusted drive can help you lead to more victories. Each drive is expertly designed inside and out to offer you premium gameplay with performance storage that is purpose-built for gaming, because WD Black knows that the game never waits. With expansive storage capabilities on WD Black drives, you can save all of your old favorite titles to the drive while firing up a new game on your console or PC. Plus, you can forget about tedious loading screens or needing to delete other games to make room. You can now get that time back by increasing your console or PC storage and speed with WD Black drives.
So if you want to learn more about the portfolio of WD Black drives and optimize your gameplay with a driver that fits your console, desktop, PC, or laptop needs, make sure to head to wdblack.com to find the perfect drive for you. With WD Black, you leave no game behind. Remember, that's wdblack.com. So we are back. And Sheree, I don't know how to lead us into this, because we're going to go through some of the most, I'd say, unpopular of the most unpopular opinions this year. I'm just going to let you sing it. Freestyle it. Come on.
The most unpopular opinions. We were haters all year. Laptops, consoles, everything. We love nothing at all. Unpopular opinions of the year.
Ooh. Oh, damn.
Love it. Right. So the first one we're going to talk about is, we've already chatted about the top one, which was Tom Bedford's TVs are dead. So we're not going to go over that again. But April 17th. Do you remember that time when we were like, oh, this will last a week? We are so over video calls.
Yeah, I dropped this one in because of that exact reason. Like, it was the beginning of lockdown. We were all thinking like, oh, this won't last for very long.
I thought June, this would be over.
We were already over video calls. And yeah, you guys chatted about it on the podcast. And I thought, well, God, it's been more than nine months at this point, and we're still doing all these video calls every day.
I tell you what though, my video call chat stamina has increased massively. 100%. Like, I was shattered after like three or four in a row, and now I can just knock them out all day. Like, having a chat, good times. You get to know what you can and can't do, like allowed to you know, like, could you drop something, pick it up? Do people care? Can you go and get a drink? What about toilet breaks? You know, all this stuff has been clarified. You know, you definitely need to wear trousers, all that stuff.
Yeah, please wear pants. Please, for the love of God, wear pants.
I always wear pants, Cherie, but I don't wear trousers sometimes. See? English versus American English. There you are.
Yeah, all right.
Also just to be clear, I do always wear some sort of covering on my underwear, just to be clear. Just because I don't want people to understand that. I'm just wearing shorts right now. That's what's happening. So, John, I don't know if this is, obviously you're the previous phones editor of Tech Radar. On episode 14, we said, why is everyone going on about motion gestures on phones? Has it got any better?
Motion gestures? I mean, for me, motion gestures on devices are just pointless.
Still trash, good. Yeah.
In some use cases, like in a car, I can see it. BMW several years ago now brought in the 8 Series first, and you could gesture to do some controls on the car. But again, it's just like you basically had to hold your hand out to your side and hover it, and then to change the volume, you'd stick your finger out and then you'd rotate it either clockwise or anti-clockwise to put the volume up and down. It's just like, oh, you know, look, it's hands-free. But it's just like I'm having to like get it so it's in line with the camera and go like that, where I could just go for the dial and just twist it or use the on-wheel control and change it.
Yeah.
So just motion gestures in most consumer tech products is just another thing to put on the spec sheet and go, oh, look, we've got motion controls. But I'd wager most people don't use them.
Oh, I've just remembered something. Mm-mm. You know, I said about the HomePod Mini was the worst of the year. One of the best things about that is you can wave your phone at it and it will pass over the audio from what's playing on headphones or whatever to the speaker itself. It's well good.
That is well good.
Like, and it does this lovely little bloop like in your hand, so it knows that it's passed it over, and it works really well. I feel really bad now. Siri's still annoying. That's fine. I'm okay with this. Right. There's on episode 7, we had the very worst of our unpopular opinions that has aged so badly. I'm going to save that to the end. So let's go back to the time of episode 3 with me, James, Liv, and obviously Cherie. Sony deserves more credit for its headphones and phones. Does it? Does it? Headphones, yes. Phones, no.
Yeah, basically.
Yes. Yeah. Like, America doesn't even get Bravia, Xperia phones anymore. Exactly. See how I had to... Exactly. We don't even get Xperia phones anymore. And they used to... Like, I used to be excited when Xperia phones came out because they were the gold standard at the time for cameras, because like they would put all that fancy equipment into it and they took some really, really good cameras. But the design was a little wonky and no one could really get it to catch on. And it just kind of faded. It faded into to wherever, I guess, back over to Europe and Asia, because we don't get Xperia phones anymore over here.
I still feel really bad, because it shows just how hard it is to make a phone successful if you haven't got loads and loads and loads and loads of marketing budget these days. Mm-hmm. You know, OnePlus is arguably the one that breaks that rule. But, you know, the Sony phones, same as HTC, same as LG, same as so many out there, they did good things. Like, the cameras were good. They had some good ideas in there. They just never really made it a slick experience. And other brands just came in and made it better. You know, Huawei has managed to override the lack of slickness. Well, it did until... this year happened again for it. It's been over a year. Screw that. It's been well long time for Huawei. I couldn't believe it the other day. It's been going on for over a year. But anyway, they came in, spent a lot of money marketing their phones all over the world and became the number 3 smartphone manufacturer. So Sony couldn't manage it.
They also started making good phones.
Yeah, but before that happened, they started a groundswell of going forwards. It definitely, sure, they propelled themselves head first. But Sony in headphone space, I think, still deserves more credit. You know, we're talking right now about the AirPods Pro... Flipping heck, the AirPods Max. Apple's naming is so annoying. The AirPods Max, which we've reviewed on Tech Radar, they're very, very good. They're way too expensive. But in context, Sony's are just an even better buy because of it. But they won't get the same credit. And it's annoying, because you've got that and they're just very good headphones. And you should always consider them, I'd say, if you're looking for a good pair of headphones. But they're actually just slightly outside that sweet spot. So I tried to recommend to a friend the other day and he was like, got anything cheaper? Which was slightly annoying. So I was like, I thought I had it nailed.
That hurts my feelings. That hurts my feelings. Like, I get it. Like, especially in a pandemic when money is tight, you definitely have to, start weighing the pros and cons of every purchase, because, you know, you got to pinch your pennies. But like, I still would recommend, if you can, invest in a great pair of headphones so you can get that audio quality, you can get the build quality, and you don't have to worry about, oh, like a couple of months down the line, oh my god, an errant bead of sweat got into my head, into one of my one can, and now it doesn't work, or it's got this crackling noise to it.
I feel like that's the most concise rant I've heard from Sheree. Like, this, done, out. Right, final one was episode 7, and this is the one.
This was a Sheree. This was a Sheree bad take.
The DualSense controller on the PS5 is ugly and bad. And it is now known quite comprehensively as by far the best feature of the PS5, I say. Sheree, defend yourself.
Wait, what?
This was an unpopular opinion you had when the DualSense was first shown off, Sheree. You said it was ugly and bad. I didn't go back and listen to the context of your argument, but that was the headline we decided to go with. And so you have to defend yourself, Sheree.
Was this before they showed off the... Because now yes. I do need some context.
Yeah.
Was this before...
It was before the console.
And what? But was it? Did it look like it does now?
Yeah.
I think this would sound like something I would have said, because I was on board with, like, I think I'm one of the only people on board with the PlayStation 5 design, period. I love this ridiculously huge console.
Well, so maybe you came around on it then. Maybe I'll have to go back and listen and figure out what it was.
Yeah, please do, because I'm like, I feel like I was with it. I was on this bandwagon from Gate. Unless we, were we talking... Or was this before we saw the actual PlayStation 5 and it was still that V-looking thing that looked kind of like a little mini Colosseum, and you were going, and maybe there would have been holograms of people battling to the death in there. Then for our amusement, you could hit a button and then the Colosseum would fill with water, and then gladiators would come out in boats and battle to the death that way.
What is happening?
I did.
What is going on? Yeah. I have no idea. From my memory, they released pictures, official pictures of the DualSense long before they released pictures of the PlayStation 5 hardware. And mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the consensus around the internet was that it was kind of big and ugly and gross, and people didn't quite understand what it would eventually be. And I think you're absolutely right. It is now one of the best features of the PS5.
I think the and bad thing, whether that was said or not, is unfair, because I think you're right. It did look chunky. Everyone compared it in size to the previous DualShocks, and people were saying, well, look, this was fine. Why make it bigger? And now we found out why. And obviously, yeah, we looked at the design and thought, hang on a minute, what's the console going to look like? Turns out it was as bad as we thought.
Mental, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It was as crazy as we expected.
But I like, it looks like an architectural marvel. It looks like a building of the future.
Oh, I love it. It's just badly designed. There's a difference between good design and enjoyment. And I think this fits in that lovely Venn diagram, like, of both the worst sides of it. It's so big. It's so swoopy. And like, I think Gerald said, this is like what happens when people who are 3 or 4 years old when the PS2 came out and were like, I wish I could design it to be different. And then they just kept that design and carried on when they became old enough to design a console.
The initial designs were drawn in red crayon. This is fact, well-known fact.
I mean, looking at the design compared to what we were used to, yeah, I can see myself hating on this from Gate.
There's the flip.
Like, it just looks freaking weird. And it looks like a very weird take on the Duke controller, like the original OG Xbox controller, that big hulking mass of input device, the Duke. But like, again, I've come around, I've had to eat that humble pie. This controller is the best controller. Well,
Yeah, you can say it. You can do it.
I'm gonna hedge that, because it's only gonna be the best if PC developers, when you use this with PC, also bring that haptic feedback, that incredible adaptive haptic feedback from the PlayStation 5 over to the PC. Otherwise, nah. It's just gonna be a big hunky piece of plastic, and I'll revert back to my usual Xbox Elite controller.
No one cares about PC. It's all about consoles. Let's end there. right. This has been a lovely Christmas podcast. Thank you so much, John and Matt and Cherie, for being here, not just today, but for the whole year in various guises. We didn't even get a chance to do a news blast roundup, but because that would have been ridiculous and I would have clearly won it. So let's not do that. Wow. I hope every single person who is listening to this podcast has a wonderful Christmas, a very relaxing time, because we definitely need that after this year. I am exhausted. I watched the Nativity play this morning. It was lovely. And some of the children that were fantastic actors. I'll tell you that for now. And one of them said, one of them was like, I am exhausted. And it was so realistic and wonderful. I thought it was brilliant. right, Cherie, if people need to get hold of all this wonderful Laptop Mag content over Christmas, how can they see it?
Of course, go to laptopmag.com. But we're also on Facebook and on Twitter. And we're working on Instagram and maybe some TikTok action. Stay tuned for that. If you want to get in contact with me, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Smith 11. That is M-I-S-S Smith 11. Remember, for a couple of episodes in between, I couldn't spell my own name for a hot second. It was wild.
Low.
Like, but I've gotten over that hurdle. I've reached the mountaintop and I can spell again. But yeah, find me there. And of course, laptop then, laptop now, laptop for the future.
John, how about you?
Well, I don't think there's any way I can top that. You can get me on Twitter at JJ McCann. I'm on Instagram, John BM McCann. And obviously, for all the latest news, rumors, features, reviews, buying guides, and anything you need to help you buy the tech you love, visit techradar.com.
Matt, how about you? What have you enjoyed today? How do people listen to you?
Well, I've enjoyed the whole podcast today, Gareth, as always. And if you want to get in touch with me, you can do so on any social media at Matt P Video. And I just want to say a little thank you to Gareth and Cherie for hosting the podcast all year, but also everybody who's listened to the podcast this year. We've had so much fun making it. Please do send it to your family and your friends, because we love making it and we want more people to listen to it. And we love you guys who do listen to it every week. So thank you.
And thank you very much to Matt Phillips, who has been doing a sterling job of editing this out. If this podcast, this specific Christmas one, sounds good, he has done an absolutely marvelous job, because we have screwed up so many bits that you hopefully won't hear in the middle of it, including a lot of this outro. So if it sounds good, maybe send him a Christmas present just as a thank you for making your listening experience that much better. I have been, as ever, Gareth Beavis, Global Editor-in-Chief of Tech Radar. One of my biggest achievements this year is getting both my mum and my dad to listen to this podcast, one of whom has no interest in tech whatsoever. And so if you are listening, mum and dad, thank you very much. I love you very much. I am Super Beav on Twitter. Please do get in contact and tell me what you've enjoyed this year, or whether we've missed out something so mind-bogglingly massive that it's ridiculous. Tech Radar, as John said, for all the socials. And just leaves me to say Merry Christmas and have a Happy New Year. We'll speak to you later.
Bye-bye. Merry Christmas.
Bye. Bye.